Hello there, a warm welcome to the Postcast, the Racing Post weekend preview show in conjunction with Tote Fantasy. I'm Bruce Millington. Joining me to look ahead to seven races on ITV on Saturday, plus all the rest of the weekend best bets, and as a little bonus, some early Cheltenham tips, are Graham Rodway, David Jennings, and Tote Fantasy's Jamie Benson. Now then, before we get stuck into this weekend, Jamie, I mean, do you remember on last week? Well, I shouldn't think you've thought of anything else. But going into last weekend's show, you were telling us all about the horse that you owned who had a fantastic chance up at Kelso. But there was up against a horse called Benson. And I said, well, surely you're not going to tip this Benson, are you? He said, no, I'm not going to tip Benson. I'm going to tip the thing that I co-own. Anyway, so I'm watching it. And your thing is taking it up and he's just about to win and he looks all over the winner. And then all of a sudden, who comes shooting past him on the running to beat him but Benson? I mean, as bad beats go, that is hideous, Jamie. Are you over it yet?
Scarcely believable, especially given that horse had been the source of so much abuse to me before because he would always come second. Yeah. And I would just get all these messages from mates going, bloody Benson, useless so-and-so, all this kind of stuff. And then the one time he finally gets his act together is when he goes to mug my boy, close home, having travelled the winner all the way around. So, yeah, no, that was absolutely brutal. I wasn't Lorna's favourite person after that.
Oh, never mind. That was bad. How did we do on Tote Fantasy last week, Jamie? How did the Postcast crew get on? Hopeless, as always?
A sort of mid-div.
Did we get any money back?
No, just missed out. Unfortunately. So, I think we're about 1-3 on the money. So okay. It's not too bad. Hopefully this weekend, we've only got Sandown and we've got a couple from Ireland as well. We're avoiding the all weather. So hopefully we can pick up some prize money there.
Okay. Well, hopefully DJ can help us with some Navin good things. And we will be telling you all about Tote Fantasy, having a go at the main prize, but also inviting you to see and pit your wits against us on the Racing Post Fantasy League section. Right then, first of all, though, let's get stuck into Sandown's four races on ITV4 on Saturday. There is an 8 a.m. inspection. It kind of feels touch and go, I would say. The temperature is going to be very cold tonight. So they've got an inspection at 8 o'clock. Fingers crossed it goes ahead because it's a great card. The 150 at Sandown is the European Breeders' Fund Betfair National Hunt Novices Handicap Hurdle Final. A handsome 45 grand to the winner and 17 runners going for it. 2.5 miles is the trip. And using the best odds function on racingpost.com pro cards, I can tell you that Cuthbert Dibble is currently 5-1 favourite. Crambo is 7-1. And then it's 9-1 Etalon, 9-1 Henry II, 10-1 Churchill's Boy and Twin Jets. 11 bar, you're getting 6 places in with one firm, 5 with the rest, so loads of each way potential. And we'll start with G-Rod. Looking forward to this card, G-Rod?
Yeah, very much so, Bruce. Looking forward to this week. It's always it's the best week of the year, isn't it? It's not one of the best weeks of the year. It's the best week of the year. And it starts off at Sandown for me always every year with always every year a fantastic punting card. There's lots of competitive handicaps and this is one of them, and let's just hope that it goes ahead. Of course, if this meeting goes ahead, it is going to be absolutely bog-like there. You know, they're going to be walking up that hill at Sandown.
Is it going to be that bad? I mean, you know, I know we've had a lot of rain and snow recently, but it has been so dry, hasn't it? I don't know. I suppose that they had a midweek meeting, didn't they, where they were finishing fairly slowly. So, yeah, you could be right.
Yeah, it said soft ground on Tuesday, but it was definitely heavy and the weather's been worse since Tuesday. And it's got taken some rain there since. I reckon it'll be, yeah, proper heavy. And the horse that I'm going to put up as a result in this race is Churchill's Boy, who I think will like heavy ground. He won a bumper at Chepstow on heavy ground, and his sire is Malinas, which is a German sire. Now, as soon as it starts raining, you always want to be looking for those sort of German pedigrees, because for some reason, they just love testing ground. Churchill's boy, I think, will love it. And Nick Gifford trains him. He doesn't have many winners nowadays, but he does pretty well with his runners at Sandown. He's had 3 winners, 2 seconds and and 2 thirds from 19 runners I looked up earlier in the last 5 seasons. So when he does take them to Sandown, they usually run well. I expect this will have been the target for Churchill's boy, as it will have been no doubt for many of these for most of the season, because it is one of those races that trainers like to target. But he needed every yard of 2 mile, 1.5 furlongs last time out of Fontwell to get up near the line. He's got 2 mile, 4 furlongs here. Step up in trip should suit. I think he'll run really well. Churchill's boy.
Excellent for that very good egg, Nick Gifford. DJ, are you in good form? Do you look forward to this card, or do you see it as a bit of distraction before the real business starts on Tuesday?
No, I like it. And I think it's always quite a decent competitive card so close. Like, it's a better weekend this weekend than last weekend, I would argue. The horse that I like in this is the type of horse I would never really go for in a race like this. I like Hugo's new horse for Paul Nicholls, who's chasing a 5-timer and looks like he's going up plenty, up to 130, considering he won off 117 at Sandown in December. But I think it was a little bit of a surprise to them that he won at Market Raisin last time when he stepped up to 2.5 miles. He looked beaten all ends up, the whole way up the home straight, tighten your belts, looked like he had his measure. And he really fought back. I was quite impressed with what he did from the last to the line that day under Freddie Jingle. He went up £5 to 130, but they're claiming off him again with Angus Chileda, who I think is very good. This fella's a half-brother to Black Horton, who won 3 times on soft ground. I'm a bit like G-Rod. I think if it does go ahead, and you said it was touch and go, I'd say it's more touch and go. If it does go ahead, it's going to be really hard work. Half-brother to Black Horton, who won 3 times on soft. This fella won on heavy at Exeter back in January. I think he's going to cope with the conditions. And I just thought he was too big of a price for a horse that's probably had this as his aim all season. And he's a double-figure price at 11-1.
Okay, thank you very much. Did you want to say more touch than go? I'm never quite sure what the touch refers to.
Yeah, I wasn't either, even as I said it.
Does that mean you think it's less likely to be on than
yeah, I presume it's in the name. I presume go means we're going ahead. And I'd say it's...
They should change it, shouldn't they, to no or go? But anyway.
They should, yeah, and it even rhymes. I would say it's unlikely to go ahead. I'd say it's odds on anyway to go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm about 10 miles from there. I'm 10 miles from there, and as things stand, it's fine. So as long as it doesn't get too cold overnight, I think we'll be okay. Right then, Jamie, put last weekend's pain behind you. It's a fresh start. Come and prove yourself what a great tips you are by giving us the 150 winner.
Well, I think it's probably going to take a few more winners to prove that after some fairly average tipping thus far. But I like Inniston here for Gary Moore. He won on handicap debut last time at Sandown over 2 mile 4. And that day he only won a head against Twin Power, but I think he was value for more. He didn't get a clear run, and he hung a bit right as well, which is a small concern, but you think he probably has a lot more to come. He's only gone up £6 for that because he only just got home, and I think he can probably run well again. He's a horse on the up. That was only his third run over hurdles, so you suspect there's more to come for Inniston.
Thank you very much. Let's move on to the big race of the day. 225 at Sandown's, 56 grand to the winner of the Betfair Imperial Cup handicap hurdle over 2 miles. 18 runners. They're going now heavy, by the way, at Sandown. So G-Rod was right. You can get 7 places with some bookmakers, 6 with others, 5 with most of them. So do shop around. 13-2, Fav, Playful Saint. 8, Jivaga. 8, Zoffany Bay. 17-2, Monville. 9, ICO. 10, Man at Work and Metier. 14, Hardy DeSoy. 16, Bar. David Jennings, I would imagine you've been studying this one hard. What have you come up with?
Oh, Monville, Monville, and Monville again, Bruce. This is my weekly charity bet on Up in the Ante at, I think, 10-1 in 17-2 now. I think he'll go off a good deal shorter. I really hope it goes ahead because he should be fine in conditions. It was heavy when he won at Sandown in February of last year. Now, he actually ran in this race last year, so he did, but he was very inexperienced going into the race and didn't run particularly well. He was always at the back. He only finished 8th. He's beaten 17 lengths. But still, for such an inexperienced horse, to finish better than mid-division, I thought, was a decent enough effort. Since then, I was blown away by him at Ascot in November when he won off 120. And then he went to the Betfair Hurdle, which I tipped on this show. I thought he would be a massive player in that. And nothing got into it really from off the pace. Maybe Filey Bay obviously was the one closer, but Akon Risk was always up there. But I loved what Monville did from about the two pole to the line. I thought he was really staying on strongly in a race where it suited to be ridden prominently. He's been dropped a pound for that to a mark of 129. Course is fine, conditions is fine. I'd be disappointed, Bruce, if he's not bang there.
Thank you very much, DJ. Monville, very confident choice for David Jennings. G-Rod, are you confident here?
Yeah, I'm quite confident. Metier is an absolute machine on soft ground, isn't he? Heavy ground. He's virtually unbeatable. He won the Tolworth round there on really testing conditions a couple of years ago. Looked like the second coming that day. Then he beat, Goshen, I think, a couple of others on really heavy ground at... it wasn't Goshen. It was that handicap hurdle that he won, wasn't it? At Winter Millions at Lingfield last year. Don't get much deeper than at Lingfield in the middle of winter on heavy ground, and he loved it. And then he turned up off a long break on really heavy ground at Doncaster in the November handicap. Made short work of 21 runners. Now he's got to carry 12 stone, but a lot of these just won't go in this ground. And we absolutely know that Metier loves it heavy. He loves Sandown.
Graham, you've just missed out one run there while you were going through the form line.
What's that?
Well, he embarrassed himself at Christmas. I'd be with you if he didn't run at Christmas.
Yeah, but he was racing against bloody Constitution Hill, wasn't he?
Just watched the race, though. I'd be very worried. I'm all for your argument, but I just watched that race back and it was scary. I wouldn't
be worried too much. I know that he finished last in the Kempton last time on the flat, but did they really think they could beat Constitution Hill? No. Did they really think that they were going to win that race at Kempton last time out? No. Did they really think they could win the Imperial Cup? Probably. So, Metier for me.
Thank you very much, G-Rod. He's 4 from 4 in Britain when the going is heavy.
He is a massive chance, Bruce. If he didn't run at Christmas, I would be all over him here. I just hated the run at Christmas. But G-Rod usually gets these things right, so fingers crossed.
Righty-ho. Jamie, just beware that you may get your homework marked very publicly by DJ, but hopefully he'll give you a little a chance to say who you fancy.
No, I'm with the, well, I was about to say with Laz, with G-Rod on Metier. I just can't get out of my head his win in the November handicap off a mark of 89. Like, that was wild on heavy at Donny. He absolutely gagged up. And yeah, DJ, I totally know what you mean about his run at Kempton at Christmas. I thought he would get nice, quiet run in behind to sort of get a hurdles run under him and protect his mark. But he was keen and everything was awful about it. And so you would have a question mark there, but it's just, I find it impossible that he isn't well handicapped on heavy ground off 143, even if it's 12 stone. You know, he won at Lingfield carrying 11-12. So I don't think, or 11-10 rather. So I don't think carrying big weights in heavy ground will worry him. And yeah, at near enough double figure odds, I think he's got a right chance.
Yeah, I'm surprised about you, DJ, there, because you're normally the most forgiving of characters, aren't you? But you're absolutely...
I'll tell you what actually happened,
Bruce. Off by that.
There's a reason for it. So that day, I didn't fancy Epitant in the Christmas hurdle, right? So I sent out a message, especially over Christmas, to like a few of my mates, oh, this is what we should be back in today kind of thing. And one of them was, I thought this was an incredible price. It was Metier without Constitution Hill. And there were actually only 5 runners in the race, okay? And one of them was Highway 101. The other was So Royal. And then there was Epitant. So I didn't fancy Epitant. And I said, lads, this is an incredible price. I think it was like 14-1 without Constitution Hill or something ridiculous like that. I said, this is incredible. We have to get on. Honest God, Bruce. After like two hurdles, the horse had embarrassed himself. And they weren't even going that quick. It was scary. So, yeah.
Ah, so it's your pocket. Okay, right. Thank you very much for clearing that one up, DJ. 3 o'clock, Sandown is the British Stallion Studs EBF Mares Standard Open National Hunt Flat Race, one of very few televised bumpers throughout the year. 2 miles is the trip, 14 grand to the winner, 9 runners, and very open again. Hard card this at Sandown. 130 joint favs, Caso Nomento and Good Time Crew, 11-2 Larchmont Lass, 8-1 Don't You Want Me, 9 St. Bibiana, and 11-1 Bar. And G-Rod, you can go first.
Yeah, oh, very difficult race, Bruce. You know, I hate it when people say this, but it's true. This race, like, literally anything could win it. We just don't know how good a lot of these are because they've only run once or twice in bumpers. A lot of these bumpers are slowly run, so you don't get a great idea of what these horses can do in a off a better pace. Complete guess up. I thought that Saint Bibiana would definitely handle the ground if it got really testing, which I'm sure it is, as I've already said. She obviously won at Utox last time out on heavy ground. The form is okay. I think Politarchus was second one next time. I think the fourth has run okay since. So in a completely open race, just purely on the fact that I know she'll handle the ground, Saint Bibiana.
Okay, thank you very much, G-Rod. David Jennings, who's your fancy for the mare's bumper?
It goes downhill from here, Bruce, but I really fancy one in this. I'm all over Larchmont last year for Paul Nicholls and Harry Cobden. Now, the ground obviously is going to be a key thing here, but Larchmont Lass is out of walk in the park, and the dam is Tokaroro. Okay, he used to be trained by Gordon Elliott, and Tokaroro actually claimed to fame is beating Tiger Roll, would you believe? By 16 lengths in a beginner's chase in a grade 3 novice chase at Galway. Wow. When the going was soft, which makes me think that hopefully Larchmont Lass will handle the ground, and as well as that, the dam Tokaroro beat Swan Fox, who was just beaten in the Galway hurdle on heavy ground in a maiden hurdle at Ferrier. So I think Larchmont Lass hopefully will be fine on the ground, given how well Tokaroro handled the ground. And last time at Wincanton, Good Time Crew obviously won the race, but Larchmont Lass was sent off around a 3-1 shot. And I thought she ran a hell of a race. She was kept wide, and she was so fizzy in Harry Copland's hands. And then she was carried wide past in the stands by a horse on our inside. And I thought she ran really well to get herself into contention. I actually thought she was going to win kind of two out. Now, Good Time Crew was on top of the line, won by about half a length or three quarters of a length. But I kind of came out of that day saying, my God, Larchmont Lass is going to be an absolute certainty next time she runs. Now, I thought they would go for a maiden bumper, but they've gone for this winner's one. It's obviously a nice prize. It's good for the pedigree. I think this is a smart horse. She was well fancied for her debut as well at Ascot. And I actually thought she travelled lovely through the race, but she was just a big baby. I think she's really smart. She hasn't won yet, but I think she's good. She's got a hood on. And if she does set in the early part of the race, and with the likelihood that she will have conditions, I think she's one of the best of the day.
Wow. Blimey. Very, very comprehensive and very compelling case there for Larchmont Lass from DJ in his aircraft hangar there. Let me see now. Jamie, it's your go. Who do you fancy here?
Well, I did quite fancy Casanomento, but I've been so swayed by DJ's pick.
He does that to you, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, that I think Larchmont Lass will definitely go into our fantasy stable. But no, yeah. I mean, the case for Casanomento was just that I thought a lot of this form was quite muddling and sort of tied in with some of the others. And Casanomento looked like she won really impressively last time in what looked like a decent bumper at Hereford. It's hard to tell, obviously, at this early stage, but I really liked it. And of the races where the first couple of races in fantasy, you know, the picks are going to be quite cheap. So you could go for one nearer the front of the market here. And I was going to suggest that be Casanomento, but I think we've got to go Larchmont.
It's got to be Larchmont now, hasn't it? Exactly. Yeah. Once DJ launches into one of those, you just have to listen. Right, then concluding the Sandown TV card is the 3:35, which is the Betfair Daily Multiples offer at Cheltenham Novices Handicap Chase. 2.5 miles and just the 6 runners. So a little bit easier, potentially easy as that for Venetia Williams. When the mud flies, the money comes for the Venetia horses is 6-4 favourite. And then no risk if they flow 100-30. We've got Lac de Constance at 5-1. Hudson de Grugier 8-1. 11 Kel d'Estaing. 14 Baron de Middleton. And we'll start with you, Jamie.
Sorry, call me on the hot.
Threw you there, didn't I? Yeah, threw you there. I wanted to make sure you were on your toes.
Yeah, no, I've been a big fan of No Risk De Flo for a while. He hasn't been the easiest one to catch right. He's won plenty of times, but I feel like he's sort of just let you down on the big days. But I think the key to him is soft ground, which he'll obviously get here. He's climbing the handicap now. He's up to a career high rating of 139. So he will have to defy that. But I think everything is in his favour here. And I really like No Risk to Flow for Ollie Murphy.
Thank you very much, Jamie. We've got one vote for No Risk De Flow. David Jennings, what are you going to do with this one?
No, I'm easy as that, Bruce. Venetia won this race 2 years ago with Farinet, and actually Frenchie Delarge was well fancied for it last year when he fell. I think with Easy is that we know he handles the ground. He won on heavy ground at Chepstow 2 years ago. I couldn't believe he actually won on ground as quick as that last time at Newcastle, but it was fairly impressive. He's gone up £9 for that. Always looked like winning. I'd say £9 mightn't be enough. I'd say this is a smart horse, Easy as that.
Oh, sorry, that was it.
And that was it.
Blimey, yeah, God. That was very sudden. You caught me on the hop there.
You're about to be for talking for too long. And then when I don't, you're not ready.
No. Exactly. Normally, once you get going, I kind of, I'd settle back and light a cigarette and wait for it to finish. go on, G. Rod.
That did surprise me, actually. Yeah, when he's finished so abruptly. I thought the handicapper might have this easy as that now. I mean, DJ obviously doesn't think so, but I mean, we are talking about a mark that is £28 higher than when he kicked off his winning spree, albeit over hurdles. Yeah, lightly race, got more to come. I think Hudson De Grugy's got a huge chance. Loves heavy ground, loads of good form around Sandown over hurdles. As I've already said, won at Lingfield last year on heavy ground. Don't get any heavier than that. Last time out, back at Lingfield, ran in a race which was won by Scipion. This was a real low point for me in the season so far, because I managed to secure a really nice price about what's called Senor Desar the night before, and he was absolutely hammered in the market, and he literally was in front before the line and after the line, but on the line Scipion's head was right down and Senor Desar's head was right up, and he got beaten a nose. Senor Desire then turned out a week later in a race at Ludlow, and I decided not to back him. He absolutely bolted up that day, and I backed something else against him. So he's one of those sort of horses, but nevertheless, that was obviously a really good form boost for that race, Senor Desire coming out and winning. And then he ran another good race the other day when he got beaten by another progressive rival. So I think that Lingfield form's pretty good, and it was Hudson De Grugy's best run so far over fences. He's quite likely raced over fences. He looks to me like he's just getting his act together over fences, and this will definitely have been the target race back at Sandown, which he loves. Gary Moore obviously loves Sandown, so I can't believe he's such a big price. So you can get around 8-1 now. I mean, when I saw him in this race, that would be about 7-2. Wouldn't surprise me if he went off that.
Watched back the finish to that replay, I don't know what the right form of the sentence is, but I just watched back the finish of the replay of the race at Lingfield, and how on earth you didn't collect is unbelievable. Like, it looks like you're definitely up.
Oh, it was unbelievable, DJ.
It
looks ahead. It actually looks ahead passing the line.
It can happen sometimes, can't it? Okay, right then. That is your Sandown TV guide. There's not much unity among the panel there, so Jamie's going to have to work hard to dig out a tote fantasy team that everybody is in agreement with. Perhaps there will be a little bit more agreement when we come to the three races at Wolverhampton.
Tote Fantasy, proudly sponsoring the Racing Postcast. Daily fantasy racing with real cash prizes up for grabs. A cross between fantasy football and the play spot. Who's in your stable? Visit tote.co.uk/fantasy to find out more. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway and Tote Fantasy's Jamie Benson. Let's look ahead now to the three Wolverhampton races that support Sandown on the ITV Saturday card, starting with the 130. And it's the huge daily boosts only at BetUK Handicap. Over 6 furlongs, we've got 10 runners. Silky Wilkie is favourite at 3-1. And then it's 11-2 Baldomero, 6 Ingra Tor, 6 Sir Robin, 8 Bar. And we'll start with Graham Rodway. G-Rod, how much does three races on the all-weather at Wolverhampton grab you 3 days before Cheltenham?
I actually quite like it. You see, it was funny the other day. I was talking to Keith Melrose about this, and I was saying, you know, I don't even have to think about what racing's on this weekend. I just know it's going to be Sandown and Wolverhampton's Lincoln Trial Day. And it's always a good meeting, this one. And it is again this year. There's some really good betting races. This race, the 1:30, we're kicking off with, aren't we? Now, I think that if you've been watching the All Weather like I have for most of the winter, then you have to understand that there's a jockey out there who is absolutely stealing his claim, and his name is Billy Lochnan, isn't it? I mean, the guy
he's unbelievable, isn't he?
The guy is just absolutely, I mean, he's as good as most of the pros already. He's only 16, I think. He's absolutely superb jockey. And in January, he booted on 23 winners alone in that month. There's only 31 days in the, you know, it's like having a proper champion jockey style jockey claiming £5. Unbelievable. I mean, they even had to send him off to pack him off to Florida last month so that he wouldn't ride out his claim too quickly. And then he came back this month and he's already booted home 3 winners and 2 seconds from 6 rides this month. So he's an unbelievable jockey. And I'm just going to follow him in because he's on Baldomero here, which obviously is £5 well in with his claim because, you know, he's as good as most of these jockeys already. And he's got loads of good form over further at Wolverhampton. And I backed him last time at Lingfield, which was only a week ago. It was one of those Lingfield races where he went off in front and then David Egan did what you never do at Lingfield, which is obviously go to that far side rail in the straight and they all came down the outside like they always do. And he got beaten 3/4 of length in fourth. I don't think you'll see Billy Lochnane going right the inside here at Wolverhampton. He rode loads of winners at Wolverhampton in January. And I just think he's got a great chance, Baldomero, with Billy the Kid claiming 5. Can we call him Billy the Kid? I'm trying to find like a nickname for him, you know.
That's because Billy the Kid's good, yeah.
Billy the Kid, he's going to be so good, this guy.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm all for that. Yeah, he really does look very good, doesn't he? Okay, so a lot of enthusiasm from G-Rod for the all-weather. David Jennings, are you looking forward to this one?
I actually don't mind this just before Cheltenham. Like, I think it's a good fit for the day. I don't really have a strong opinion. I thought Exalted Angel would have a squeak. Just always seems to run quite well and has been running in better company. Hasn't run the handicap for a while. And I actually thought if you go back to his second last start at Lingfield, I thought that was a cracking run in that listed race behind an AF. And it isn't a strong opinion, Bruce, but I did think 8-1 was probably a little bit too big about Exalted Angel. I think he'll run well.
Okay. Jamie Benson is sat there clad in from head to toe in tweed and absolutely refuses on principle to discuss all weather racing. So he's formulating the Tote Fantasy team. So I'll leave it to you two. And we'll go to you, DJ, for the 205, which is the Spreadex Sports Lincoln Trial over 1 mile, half a furlong, 13 runners. Another tester for punters. 4-1 each of two, Notre Bell Bet and Unforgotten. 8-1 Outbreak. 10 Eileen Dub, 11 Al Rabe, 12 War in Heaven, 14 Takarib Bay, 16 Bar. I'm sure DJ is going to correct my pronunciation of Eileen Dub before he gives us who he fancies.
Ilan Dub, yeah, Ilan Dub.
That wasn't bad.
No, it was good. I was very surprised. All week I presumed Unforgotten would be quite a short price favourite, and the price has held up remarkably well, 4-1. I think he's number 47 on the list for the Lincoln, so I think he needs to probably win this to get into the race. I just think the last twice at Lingfield, he's actually won far more emphatically than the winning margin suggests. 3/4 of a length and a half a length last time. Last time against Brunel Charm, it looked a bit, got all hot and bothered, kind of turning into the straight. And even a furlong out, you're kind of going, And then at the line, you're going, he actually won quite easily. He's going to have £4 for that. I'd say this is a nice horse, and I do think the track at Wolverhampton will be fine. It's an extra 142 yards. I think that will suit. He's unexposed. Like, he ran into Mohaffet on his second start at Lingfield. I'd say this is a nice horse. I thought, I won't be backing him now, but I thought he was the most likely winner.
Okay. You're going well there, aren't you? Oh, no way I'm backing that. G-Rod.
That was a weird one, wasn't it? Billy the Kid again. I mean, you know, how can he be riding 25-1 outsider?
You know, when you can't just do this.
Yeah, you can. You can. Yeah, you can. You can. Of course you can.
You watch when he has a double tomorrow and everyone will be bleating on about how great he is, you know, and everyone would have said that listened to the podcast would have said,
I agree.
G-Rod knows what he's talking about.
He's a hero, but you can't just go, he's right in 25-1 shot, let's tip him.
Well, go back and watch the race last time at Lingfield when he was ridden by Safi Osborne. He was beaten by Outbreak and Notre Bel Beto, I think both in this race, and he's doing all of his best work at the finish, absolutely flying at the line, her feet Elaine. Obviously got a pull in the weights with those two, and Billy the Kid's £5 claim on top gives him a really good chance of reversing the form. And I'm loath to say this, but I don't think there'll be any jockeys listening to this. Well, I hope not anyway. But there is due to be a lot of pace in this race. Now, when you say this as a tipster, you have to be careful, because what tends to happen is when you say there's a lot of pace in this race, all the jockeys read it and then they go no pace. And then the horse that you've held up at the back ends up being held up at the back in a slowly run race. It doesn't work out as you hoped. But if it does work out as it should do, as paper suggests it should do, then there's a lot of pace on paper in this race. If they go hard, this Fleet Elaine, if you watch the way he comes from right at the back last time and absolutely flies home, he'll be able to pick these up late on. I can't believe, I can't believe the price of this horse, 25-1, got a huge chance.
And he's second top rated on RPRs as well, G-Rod. So it's not just.
And that's without Billy the Kid.
That's without Billy the Kid,
unbelievable. He made a great case, G-Rod.
He did, didn't he? That. Yeah, you'll be backing him now, aren't you? Right, 240 Wolverhampton, Spreadex Sports, Lady Wolf Fruna Stakes. Over 7 furlongs, it's a listed race, and we've got 8 runners. Angel Blur, 3-1 Fav, 7-2 Berkshire Shadow, 4-1 Dabab, 13-2 Tinker Toy, 7 Harry's Bar, 10 Bar Those, and we'll start with you, Graham Rodway. Yeah, he's not riding in this one, is he?
He's not in this one. I can't tip him in this.
No bet for G-Rod. No
good race. Great race, isn't it? I mean, you know, we're talking about horses that have been running in Group 1. Angel Blur's running Group 1s on, 4 of his last 5 starts. He's got a good chance, obviously. But I just think Dabab is the one to be on. I mean, this horse went off 9-5 favourite to beat Native Trow in the Superlative Stakes a couple of years ago when he was a juvenile. He's a very, very smart juvenile. He's obviously had problems since because he's only run twice. But he did win on the all-weather at Lingfield last year. So we know that he goes on the surface. Well, we know he goes on the all-weather, obviously. Lingfield's Polytrack, this is Tepeta, but essentially I don't think it makes that much difference. He's been off for 103 days. He was disappointing last time out at Kempton when he was far too keen to finish last. John Gosden is sticking on the John and Fady Gosden are sticking on the hood, which they do remarkably well with whenever they stick any sort of headgear on. It's always worth looking out for, but they are 6-4-13, I think I looked up earlier, with horses that wearing hood first time since the start of last year. When Dabab won last year on the all weather, he was coming off a long break. He hadn't run for a year. He's coming off a long break here, 103 days, so he goes well fresh. There's not a lot of pace in the race, which is the only concern. If he is keen off a slow pace, he might not win, but let's hope that the hood does the trick and he settles. If he settles, it'd be too good for him, I think.
Very impressed today, G-Rod. I mean, quite a lot of the time, the thing I love having you on the podcast is the comedy value, because you have your moments and I love that. But today, there's a real steely professionalism and purpose about your outfit.
He's in rude.
It's Cheltenham, isn't it? We've got a bolster bank for Cheltenham.
Yeah. You're like one of those kind of pop artists who changes genre and goes a little bit heavier halfway through their career. I know that was good. That right then, follow that, David Jennings.
That was very good. What did he tip again?
Dabab.
I'm only joking.
Sorry. Well, I never know with you. I mean, you're wandering around the aircraft. Hang on, trying to find the exit. And
as I explained before the show, I'm in a new office here and I've no furniture yet. So after Cheltenham, hopefully there will be furniture. I'm sorry. I was tempted by Dabab, very tempted, and I actually really fancied him to win the Coventry Stakes once upon a time. But Tinker Toy is my choice here. I don't think things have gone according to plan the last twice. I think this race, the makeup of this race, is really going to suit. And he looks to be crying out for 7, I thought, on his last two starts over 6. Anyway, nice draw on stall 4. Should get a nice toe into the race. I'm very worried about the bad, but Tinker Toy would be my first choice, Bruce.
All right, chaps. So those are the 7 ITV4 races on Saturday done. We're going to get the rest of the Saturday fancies. We'll pick our tote fantasy team. You've got the Naps. And as a special bonus, I'm going to run a little 5-minute Cheltenham for them. Coming right up.
Who's the best bettor? Tote tournaments allow you to bet against other players and turn your profit into prizes. There's over £25,000 up for grabs across Festival Week in prizes. You can enter now at tote.co.uk. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the final part of the podcast, sponsored by Tote Fantasy with Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway and Tote Fantasy's Jamie Benson. So we've done the TV races. Let's do the rest of the Saturday and indeed Sunday fancies, if anyone fancies anything. Loads of rain about. We've already lost Hereford on Saturday, which is a shame. But without giving your naps away, please furnish the readers with the names of any other horses you think they should be backing this weekend. David Jennings.
Not too many for me, Bruce, actually. I've been concentrating on the stuff next week. I thought the Dasher Conway was reasonably interesting in the 4.35 at Navan. I do think Chantreuse is well handicapped in the 4 o'clock at Navan. That's a valuable novice's handicap chase final. He's been disappointing, but like he's run off 133. I'd say he's a bit better than that. And Ben Harvey takes off £5. So, yeah, I'd be willing to give Chantreuse another chance in the 4 o'clock. Any second now runs in the 3.25. And while he is Grand National bound, I'd say he's probably better than these. And I think he'll win the 3.25 with Mark Walsh aboard. Good to see him returning from injury. And just one other one for me in the 2.50. It's the Irish Standing Farm CBF Novice Hurdle. Senior Chief was favoured for Maiden Hurdle last time and did oblige. And was had to work really hard to win that day at Punchestown. But I just like the way he fought back. I thought I loved his attitude. He's quite lightly raced. He's a bit to do in the form book, but I think he's the type of horse that will improve markedly for a step up and trip. So 2.6 should suit. So a tentative vote for Senior Chief in the 2.50 at Navan.
Excellent 4 from DJ at Navan. What have you got for us, Graham?
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Because this is the local track double, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah, Navan and Chelmsford. Yeah,
absolutely. I think Navan is. I always try and get that say that wrong, don't I? Navan. But I think that is. You have to say it like I've practiced it a lot. You know, I mean,
a lot as you can tell. Yeah, yeah. You know, the practice is going really well.
You meant to say like Navan or something like that.
It's Navan.
Yeah, anyway, it's the local track double, and we've got Chelmsford, obviously, for me, and 6.30 at Chelmsford, Lord of the Lodge. I thought I had a really good chance for Carl Burt, Pierre-Louis Jamin, claiming £3, not quite
blimey,
as good.
I mean, Mum's Tipple's running in that.
Yeah, yeah, I did actually give Mum's Tipple a good look, but I don't know. He's a funny horse, isn't he?
Do you think they've got over turning down £3 million for that? Yet?
I don't know if you ever get over that when you. I mean, I'm sure they've had a lot of fun when Munster.
Yeah.
But you know. Anyway, Lord of the Lodge. Last time out, ran in that race that we were talking about earlier, in which Outbreak, Notre Belle Bette, Hafite Lane. I mean, he was 7th in that race at Lingfield. He made most of the running and got done on, you know, like they always do at Lingfield. Like I said, you know, they all fly down the outside and 9 times out of 10, the leaders get caught. The drop back to 7 furlongs around a tight track like Chelmsford, I think, will be ideal for him. I expect him to go out there and try and make all. And then in the 7 o'clock at Chelmsford, Mohareb is a horse that I tipped last time out in the paper when I was tipping. He took a huge walk in the market and then ran very, very well in 6th at Lingfield. It was a sign that he was coming back to form because he's dropped right back down the weight. So he's rated 88 this sort of time last year, and he's rated 77 now, so he's £11 lower than at his peak. And he shaped very, very well in that race at Lingfield, coming from the rear in a race that I don't think really suited those who were coming from that far back. With a bit of luck, could get more pace to go out here, and he'll be held up like he was last time, and he'll come through and pick them up. So Mohareb in the 7 o'clock at Chelmsford, and Lord of the Lodge in the 6.30 at Chelmsford, in my little local track double.
Thank you very much, G-Rod. Have you got anything you'd like to add, Jamie?
I fancied a couple in the sort of 2 Irish fantasy races. So unfortunately, both of them are taking on DJ, a couple of DJs. But one would be in the 4 o'clock Priory Park. He won a handicap hurdle at Leopardstown, the 28 runner one last season, off a mark of 111. He's rated 110 over fences. He's gone chasing this season, and he's sort of been tipping away behind some good sorts, three stripe live field, door impervious, that kind of thing. And now he's in handicap company, and he's getting his act together. He was second last time out, just beating ahead. And a mark of 110 would look to, which is £1 lower than the winning handicap hurdle mark where he danced in at Leopardstown. I think he's a very, very well handicapped horse off 110. And then in the 325 at Navan, I agree with any second now. He's won this race before. But I would just take a chance on Busselton. He's only a six-year-old. He's a staying handicap chaser going places, I'd say. And although he was beaten in the Hennessy, he looked to just maybe not quite get home over that extended 3 miles. And this is 2.5. I think that'll be right up his street. You know, you want to carry national. That was some good ground. I think 2.5 on softer heavy will be very much his deal. He's not too ground dependent. And then I'd imagine he'd probably go from here onto the Irish national. But those would be my two against the field in Ireland on Saturday.
Oh, God. As someone who works for a company that sponsor horse races, the Hennessy. I thought you lot would stick together. Blimey, O'Reilly. Right then. So we've been through all the TV action, plus those two races at Navan that form the Tote Fantasy game. So, Jamie, first of all, quick reminder from me. If you do want to play Tote Fantasy any day, not just Saturday, it's £7 a go. It's great fun. Go on tote.co.uk. Go up to the top right and there's a Tote Fantasy button. You have to pick one horse in each of the seven designated races. Pay is £7. And a third, no, is it 25% of people who enter win money or a third? I can't remember.
Yeah, top quarter win money. And it's sort of gradiented all the way up to the winner taking home a decent chunk of it. So
this is probably the most testing team you've had to pick, isn't it? That G-Rod and DJ have barely agreed on what day it is, never mind which horses are going to win.
Yeah, exactly. So shall I ping you through? So we got
this horse. Is the provisional, and then the boys have got a chance to do some horse play and some arguing, yeah?
Exactly. So we've got the four Sandown races on ITV, plus the 4:10 at Sandown, and those two Navan races that DJ and I have spoken about. So we'll start with the 150. At the moment, I've got Churchill's Boy in at 750 guineas for G-Rod, but that's also because we've got some stronger DJ shouts further down the line. We can debate as we go.
It's pathetic, isn't it, the way you've got to keep pandering to their fragile egos, but go on.
There's no ego more fragile than mine, so don't worry about that. We've then got the 225 at Sandown. At the moment, I've got Metier in against the G-Rod.
Got to be, yeah.
Hello, I'm on the podcast too. Hello.
Don't worry. Your time will come.
We've spent about three quarters of the budget on you, so
yeah.
It's just like the race and post.
Yeah. exactly. So we've got the 3 o'clock Sandown. Larchmont Lass, there you go.
Thank the Lord. That's all right. I'm happy now. I can sign off now.
It's all right. I'm about to annoy you now by saying 325 at Navan. We've got Busselton because he's half the price of any second now. Which does then allow us to go for easy as that in the 3:35 at Sandown.
Now, I have to say, like, Monville, and I'm fine with Metier, and I'm delighted that Larchmont Lass is in, but G-Rod doesn't think easy as that as well handicapped. So I don't know if I'm being a team player, maybe we should go with G-Rod's selection in that race.
Well, if we swap to Hudson de Grugy, we could get any second out in, if you'd prefer.
I presume. Does Billy Lachnan ride Hudson de Grugy?
Oh, yeah.
cool. Okay. I've swapped in any second now and swapped out easy as that for Hudson de Grugy. And then 4 o'clock Navan, we can have either Priory Park or Chantreuse. I've got Chantreuse in at the moment. And then 4:10 at Sandown. At the moment, I've got Move the Chains, which I fancy. But if anyone else fancied anything else in that, feel free to give the shout out.
How are you feeling about all that, G-Rod?
Oh, it was very nice of DJ, wasn't it, to step in, you know, and not waste all that money on easy as that, you know, and give me a chance to get my Hudson Zagurgi in. So I can't really have too many complaints, you know. I do like an
argument. I've got this feeling. I've got this feeling. I think you have it too. I just think this is going to be a G-Rod Saturday. I just have this feeling.
Yeah, I do, because he's come out with his game face on, and I think we need to lean towards G-Rod. But as a concession, we'll allow DJ to pick the Henrik Larsson and the stewards inquiry. So go on. Who are we going to nap?
I'm going to nap Larchmont Lass, obviously. Yeah. And the stewards inquiry one. So you have to play that kind of safe, Jamie, don't you?
I mean, you'd probably look for the smaller fields.
It's a small races. Fields play there, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe any second now.
Yeah, I think that guarantees you, because if he doesn't win, he's coming second, isn't he?
Yeah.
So that guarantees you the points. Yeah.
I like okay, that. Jamie, we've got the team sorted. Well done, lads. There was a lot of harmony there. A lot of it was nice to see that. You're very respectful to each other. So whiz through the horses and remind us how to enter.
Perfect. Yeah, no, given how far apart a lot of us were, I thought the lads were very diplomatic. Well done, team. So it's the seven horses in the seven races. You can enter your stable at tote.co.uk/fantasy. I'd recommend you get involved. We'll also have the Racing Post League. That is on, we'll have a link in the description to that and also on social. So the Racing Postcast panel stable is the 150 at Sandown. We've got Churchill's Boy, 225 Sandown. We've got Metier, 3 o'clock Sandown. We've got Larchmont Lass, who's also our stable star for double points. 3:25 at Navan. We've got Any Second Now with the Stewards Inquiry on. So if he comes second, we score the points for first. 3:35 Sandown. We've gone for G Rods, Hudson de Grugy. 4 o'clock Navan. We've got Chantreuse for DJ, and then 4:10 Sandown. We've got Move the Chains for me.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much, Jamie. So if you fancy it and you've never given Tote Fantasy a go, go on to tote.co.uk. £7, great fun, and a quarter of you will win money. Right then, let's get the Saturday naps before we look at Cheltenham. Jamie, you can go first. If you're only backing one horsey this weekend, what would its name be?
I seem to do this every time I'm on with DJ, but I'm going against DJ. It's proven very ill-advised.
Very profitable tactic, that, mate. Don't worry about that.
I'm going with Priory Park in the 4 o'clock at Navan.
Okay, G Rod.
I'm going to go with Billy the Kid, and I'm going to go with his big price one, Hafita Lane. I think that race might just pan out perfectly for him if it pans out as it does on paper. But as we know, Bruce, racing ain't run on paper.
Hafita Lane in the 2:05 at Wolverhampton, and David Jennings.
I don't think the lads have got the concept of what a nap is. A nap is a horse that we actually want to win races. So I'm going to go for Larchmont Lass in the 3 o'clock at Sandown.
Lovely stuff. Right then. So Cheltenham begins on Tuesday. And don't forget, we've got a special podcast on Monday featuring Sam Hart. We've got Robbie Wilders. Jamie's back, and we've also, best of all, we've got Tote Fantasy ambassador Danny Mullins giving us his exclusive view. So do pin your ears back for that. That'll be really good. So all we're going to do here is I'm going to get the lads Cheltenham banker, their Cheltenham long shot, and their Cheltenham lay. Start with the bankers and start with Graham Rodway.
Oh, I think that Galopin Deschamps will win the Gold Cup just so that, you know, DJ doesn't get the ump, you know, a horse that actually is not short. I think that's what he basically means, is if, you know, you can only nap a horse that's quite a short price that's likely to win. And I think that Galopin Deschamps is short, but I think that he will do the business. So it's a funny one, you know, because I spent all season saying he was an awful price, Galopin Deschamps. And then most people last time out with his run weren't that impressed with him, but I thought he was by far his most impressive performance yet. I just love the way that he went through that race and powered up the hill at Leopardstown, and I think he'd do the same at Cheltenham. So Galopin Deschamps, the Gold Cup.
David Jennings.
It's funny the way you said that about Galopin Deschamps. It's not my nap at the festival round, but I'm exactly the same with John Bon and the Arkle. All season I've told people he's the most ridiculous price, he can't win, and now I actually think he can win, and I think he'll probably win. My nap at the meeting, as most people will know, is in the 2:10 on Thursday, the Potence final. It is Walking on Air, trained by Nicky Henderson, hopefully ridden by Nico de Bonneville. I think this is the best handicapped horse of the week, of 138.
You can't nap that. I mean, that's not going
to
win, is it?
Well, I mean, to be honest, G-Rod, I think 90% of the population of Ireland have been to a preview night in the last couple of weeks and heard DJ nap it. So it's no great shock, but yeah.
I don't think he understands the concept of a nap.
Well, I do hope that this horse wins, because otherwise there won't be any furniture in that house for a long, long time. Who's your Cheltenham Festival banker, Jamie Benson?
I mean, it was going to be Mighty Potter, but I've also gone on the same emotional journey that G-Rod has with Galopin de Champs, where I've been out to get him beat all year, thought he was a horrible prize, wouldn't stay, and then his run at Leopardstown just completely flipped my opinion of it. And on top of it all, I bumped into David Casey, who said that he was doing half speed in Paul's hands, and just they can't have him beat. So yeah, Galopin de Champs in the Gold Cup is my name.
Thank you very much.
Bruce Bellington. Bruce Bellington.
I don't know yet. Do you know what? Honestly, I don't get involved in all this stuff. I study up my Cheltenham stuff the night before. I go night before when you know the going, you know who's running in what.
Give us the name of one horse that you fancy for the week. Come on.
Jerry Colomb probably wins Turners, doesn't he? I mean, it's good run at Sandown.
Brown Advisory. Brown Advisory.
I've got all these new sponsors. I'm old, right? Stop confusing me. I'm going to go with Jerry Colomb. Right then, long shot. So double figures at the very least, and hopefully very exotic double figures. We'll start with you, David Jennings.
I have had a few quid on Metamorphous in the Boodles Juvenile Handicap Hurdle, also known as the 3-year anniversary of Aramax. Metamorphous, I've had a few quid of 40 to 1. He's down to 16 to 1 now. I like him a lot.
Okay, that's on the Tuesday, isn't it? Nice one. Yeah. Who's your long shot, Jamie?
It was going to be Common Practice, but one, he's come in price, and two, it's running against DJ and the Boodles. So I'll leave Metamorphous to win that one and instead go with a horse that I've tipped up before unsuccessfully in the form of Spirit of Legend. I think probably going the Martin Pipe around 33 to 1. He's been given 8 by the English handicapper, but ultimately that puts him on a mark of 137. And if I thought he was well handicapped off 133, well enough handicapped to win a Martin Pipe off 133, the 137 shouldn't be stopping him. So Spirit Legend, unexposed, potentially graded horse, running in a handicap for me in the Martin Pipe.
Okay, and Graham.
You want a ridiculous one?
Yeah, I don't mind.
All right, here we go. Here we go. I mean, when G-Rod says a ridiculous one, this is going to be interesting.
Exactly, yes.
G-Rod's solid ones are usually ridiculous.
Yeah, quite.
Well,
you're going for Arkell.
I had a good look at the National Hunt Chase the other day, right? And I just cannot believe that Bella Trixer is 100 to 1.
Oh, Lord, holy God.
Right. Now, on hurdles form, of course, because she has got no trace form that says she can win the race. But on hurdles form, I don't think she's out of the race at all. I mean, she was a very, very good handicapped hurdler last season for Venetia Williams. We're already talking about the ground being soft. They're probably going to be at its softest on the first day, which is the when the race is run, the National Hunt Chase, and you know, loves soft ground. Bellatrix has run two nothing races really over fences, being thrashed on both occasions, last time out beaten 28 lengths in behind City Chief. But I can just see it for some reason. I can just see
you,
like,
must have bloody good eyesight.
I could just see Venetia in the winner's enclosure afterwards, after Bellatrix has thrown up a massive shock. I can just see it. I'm definitely going to have a few quid on Bellatrix at 100 to 1 before the declaration May, because you never know, the race might even cut up as well. So that's a mad one for you, Bellatrix in the National Hunt Chase.
Has suddenly descended into farce.
I know, it was going so well, the new serious G-Rod. I want to ask you about one, David Jennings, because someone put me onto Search for Glory in the Albert Bartlett. It was a nice run last time, and I just wondered what you thought of that one's chances.
Yeah, I actually seen him working. I was in Gordon's for a big read that you will read in Sunday's newspaper, which I got to get back to writing now. But I was in Gordon's on Wednesday morning for a kind of a morning in high pressure stable the week before the Cheltenham Festival, and I seen Search for Glory worked, schooled really well, very slick over his hurdles. Yeah, he's a few chances in that race. Favori, De Champdu, Three Car Brag, Search for Glory. Wouldn't put you off, Bruce. Certainly wouldn't put. He'll certainly stay anyway. I thought he ran really well last time.
I did. Okay. Well, he was my long shot.
He was my pick in that race as well, Bruce.
Oh, brilliant! Like,
excellent. If you look at it, the way he sort of got done for toe at Clonmel last time, and then ran on through the line.
Yeah.
Was last pull up.
Oh,
I really
good. Some nice endorsements there. And finally, gents, the lay. Which of these favourites is the most stinkingly awful price? Jamie, you can start on that one.
Does an Ergamine count as a favourite?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just say the front of the market in the Champion Chase.
Oh, you don't like either of the front two, no?
Not particularly.
Okay, fair enough. G-Rod?
Yeah, I mean, where do you want to start? I just think that there's loads of really bad favourites there next week. And most of them are trained by Willie Mullins. I mean, Fasal Vega's an awful price, isn't it? And El Fabiola, I don't fancy that. But, I'm obviously against Shishkin at short odds. I just feel that there's a possibility that this race might come up a bit quickly for him. He was very good at Ascot, no doubt. And if he runs to that sort of level, he obviously will win. But I don't think it's anywhere near a certainty that he will run to that level again. He's thrown in a couple of bad runs, hasn't he, recently? I think he might do one again, sadly.
Okay, and David Jennings.
An argument.
Two very short, succinct, and reasoning-free opponents of Energumene. I agree with Gira. Fasal Vega, an absolutely horrific price in the opener. So I will be place-laying that. Probably start off badly and go all downhill from there, but hopefully not. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your contributions. Thanks to producer Sam Hart. Sam will be back, like I say, on Monday for a Cheltenham Festival postcast. Loads of great video throughout the week on racingpost.com and on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And Sam will be back next Friday with a jaded crew of experts who, after a week of Cheltenham, will be asked to focus on Newtoxtron, come up with the winner of the Midlands Grand National. Don't worry, they'll be enthusiastic and they'll be full of wisdom. So join us for another postcast sponsored by Tote Fantasy.